Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is it?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
Let's go, man. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Dusty and Cam on Football Friday. This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Football Friday. Also, Football Friday. Championship weekend. Timbers. Atlanta.
Tempering my expectation.
Why?
No, I mean,
for a championship?
Looking forward to bringing another MLS Cup here to Portland.
Want a parade? Have a damn parade.
Uh-huh.
It's where it all started 3 years ago.
In the rain. I remember that. I remember it was big, big rainy day. It was. But everyone celebrated. Didn't matter.
I said have a damn parade.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where that drop came from. Parade days.
If I can represent that. I say have a damn parade.
I say have a damn parade.
About the same octave?
I say have a damn parade.
I say have a damn parade. I've been working on my Dusty.
Okay.
You work on your Cam. What does it sound like?
God,
you're like my wife. She does that. Every time she...
Is it really that far off? That's a drop from you.
Yeah, that's true. But every time she mentions, she talks like me. That's every time you talk like your husband. It's like that. Yeah. Is that really what I sound like?
Uh-huh.
Essentially, I guess I do.
It is. It's...
Do I sound like this all the time? Every time you talk like that?
Is that what all everybody sounds like? Charlie Brown's teacher when your husband and wife. Your wife says, "Oh, my husband was talking to me." That's all he sounds like.
Yes.
Noise.
And your wife always sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, like you said.
That's my favorite thing to do to my kids.
When? Why?
When they start talking, I just go, "Am I Charlie Brown's teacher right now? Nobody's listening."
They don't. Then it goes right
Nobody
over
cares.
Their head. Right over their head, they just don't even notice it.
They start laughing.
They're like, "What? Who's Charlie Brown?
What are you talking about? Don't you start bagging on Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown Christmas. I got the Charlie Brown Christmas app on my phone.
What?
Oh, it's great.
What does that do?
It's cool. It goes through the whole Charlie Brown Christmas. You get to click on all the little things, and it takes you through the every scene, and you can act out the scenes with them. And you get Charlie's, you get Linus's speech, you get the little Christmas tree.
You have that on your phone.
You dang right I have it on my phone.
Okay.
It's the season.
All right. What do you do when it's not Christmas season?
It's still on my phone, just in case.
You just have it there.
Yeah.
I don't have very many apps on my phone.
There's Christmas season and there's waiting for Christmas season.
Oh.
It's like football.
By golly.
Yeah.
No. There's Christmas season and then there's the rest of your year that you just go ahead and live your life.
Oh, you're one of those? One of those? One of those-ies?
Yeah. Normal? Yeah. I don't have any apps on my
phone.
That's
a word,
seasons.
By the way. Everybody throws that word out there. There's no such thing. That's a word that everybody uses. I think it's the most overused, ridiculous word in the world.
What?
Because normal. Because your normal is not my normal. And the normal of a million people somewhere else is not even close to the normal of what those person's normal is. So it is the worst word. When someone says, "How do you act?" Like normal. Well, what's your normal?
Yeah, well.
My normal's not your normal.
It's
so
get out of my bubble. Get out of my bubble. This is my bubble. And in my bubble, it's normal.
So I think it's a very selfish word.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Yeah.
You're surly this morning.
Yeah.
Who peed in your Cheerios?
Computer was off.
Oh, that's what it is.
Computer was off.
That's what you're over
surly.
There
it's the end of the week. Stressful. All the days are stressful.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, you should be happy. Blazers got off the losing schneid last night. How about Jake Layman? Well, Jake Layman coming out firing, hadn't played in 5 games, comes out in the first quarter, and all he does is outscore the crappy Phoenix Suns.
He did. So I was thinking about this last night. This has been driving me crazy, and I showed this picture to you when we got in here.
Yeah.
Jake Layman looks like somebody, and it's driving me insane. So I've been putting it together, and I finally found it. Uh-huh. I found it for me, but I don't know if you want to agree with this. I'm going to ask those listeners out there. A young James Spader.
That's a good one. Yeah, that was a really good one that you had.
There was like this look he has with the blonde hair, and he's got really, really bad beard. It's like, It's like, don't grow a beard.
I shaved it last night.
Yeah, I know he did. Thank gosh, because his beard is awful. It looks like Patch Adams. It's
now,
terrible.
Now he just has a mustache.
Yeah, but a young James Spader. We're talking 80s James Spader when he was cool, kind of like the Don Johnson.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. You're pretty. That's pretty good.
Didn't you think?
He's a handsome man.
Yes.
He's a handsome man. He has not aged into a handsome old man.
He's bolder. He's very bald.
His face has gotten a lot rounder.
Yeah.
But yeah, young James Spader, I'm seeing it. That's a really
good
one.
He was driving me insane. I was like, okay, he looks like somebody. Who is it?
Robert California.
Yeah.
One of the worst characters on The Office.
Really?
Was Robert California.
Yeah, it wasn't great. When he came on, that was
real
bad,
I think.
Real bad
character. They were reaching with him. Yeah. Don't you think?
Well, they couldn't lock up Will Ferrell.
I wasn't a big fan of Nelly either.
Uh-huh.
She was the British boss that came in.
Annoyed everybody.
Yeah.
And she was mean.
I didn't even really love the Will Ferrell transition from Michael Scott.
Yeah.
He was too over the top.
Way too over the top. I'm a big fan of the show called Last Man Standing.
Oh, so Home Improvement Part 2?
Part 2, yeah. And Jay Leno is on Last Man Standing. He comes on and does some cameos. He's bad.
Really?
And I like Jay Leno. Like, I love Jay Leno's Garage. It's a great show. He overacts. Yeah. You know what I think about overactor?
Yeah, that was part of his delivery on The Tonight Show was everything was just over the top. And you're like, is that a joke? Okay, I'm going to laugh anyways.
I love him on his Jay Leno's Garage. It's great because it's just him.
And he's got a bunch of cars.
Yeah. And Tim Allen has been my fan. I've been a fan of him long before, even before Tool Time. And
so when he was a coke dealer?
No, when he was a comedian. He was a stand-up comedian for years before that. But Jay Leno was on here, and it was just like a 4-episode or 3. It was bad. It's bad. Which I shouldn't be critiquing somebody that's an icon in acting and stand-up. I mean, it just was. But certain people are good at other things.
Yeah. Well, James Spader had a career-high 24 last night for the Portland Trailblazers. Jake Layman, 10 of 13 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3.
Did I hear, I think, was it Kevin that mentioned last night, Kevin Calabro, said that he wants to be in the dunk contest and wants to go up? I mean,
I could see that. He's got pogo sticks.
He does.
He can jump.
Has he got the moxie to do it?
You know this about the dunk contest.
Rex Chapman reinvented?
Yeah, but like a white guy's not going to win that thing.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Brent Berry was the last.
What's wrong with you?
Wasn't it from the free throw line?
What does it have to do with that? Guy can dunk.
Here's the thing. Rudy Fernandez, he had a great dunk contest, was eliminated in the first round. You probably don't remember that.
Rudy Fernandez.
Yeah. Former Portland Trailblazer. Spaniard.
Don't.
Yeah. His dunk contest performance in the first round, everybody's like, oh, this guy's through. Nope. Out in the first round.
You gotta have some moxie.
Yeah, well,
and swag.
He did. He took off the jersey. Was an ode to. I don't even know who the hell his jersey was an ode to, but it was like the first Spanish player ever in the NBA. And people were like, who's that?
He's gonna have to drop Trow and dunk in a Speedo or something to gain some attention.
That would be interesting if he did that. And Jake Layman maybe could make some hay doing that. But
I just gave your idea.
There you go,
Thank
Jake.
You. You're welcome.
You're welcome. That's how you win. Go and dunk in a Speedo. But he was out on fire last night, and I think it's safe to say Jake Layman should be playing more for the Blazers.
A better starter than Mo Harkless?
I don't know.
Their record was better.
They were first in the Western Conference.
Well, they were a better team.
Jake Layman in the starting lineup.
I mean, it's just right there in front of you.
It's all you need to know. I think he's the missing link. Now we can re-raise that banner back into the rafters again. Because Jake Layman played well last night against one of the worst teams in the NBA
that did not have its best player
and did not have a shooter in Ryan Anderson.
This is a fair question for Phoenix.
God, they suck.
How would Gonzaga and Duke match up against Phoenix?
Oh, no, that's not even, no.
Is it a funner? Funner.
Yeah,
not a word.
It is funner.
I'm going to tell you this. A college basketball team has a better chance of beating an NBA basketball team than a college football team has beating an NFL franchise.
Yeah, that's true.
And when I mean better, I mean you could be within 10 to 15 points.
That's true.
Of a NBA team. You might actually sneak it out and push them at the end. Football, you're not being within 40.
No, not even within 40. But think of it this way. So we look at Duke and we're like, hey, that Duke team is really good. They've got three bona fide
picks.
Well, they could go like the top three, right? Yeah. If you look at the Phoenix Suns, if Booker's healthy, they got Booker, Ayton, Miles Bridges, Josh Jackson, Dragon Bender, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That's a good.
Think
of
that.
Sounds good on paper.
And all of those guys were lottery picks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those guys, and they're mature, and they got their grown man muscles. Okay? They're beating Duke. They would beat Duke.
No, of course. I mean,
it's closer than the NFL.
Yeah, it is. It's way closer than the NFL, and it would be fun to watch Zion just run around on them. It'd be interesting.
It would be. It would. I'd take it. Better coach, Duke. Duke's better coached. You got that.
It's hands down.
In a sport where coaching matters, but not as much as football, too. You know?
I've seen college guys beat pros before in basketball. That's not uncommon. Happens every Olympics.
When?
I mean, there are scattered college guys of other places. Come on, beats the United States.
No.
It's happened before.
Dream Team lost.
Yes, they did.
To the college all-stars when Chuck Daly threw the game for him.
Wasn't it right here in Portland?
No, that was down, a different. I think it was down at Loyola Marymount or something like that where they were having their camp.
Christian Laettner. Christian Laettner was not on the team, but
he was on the all-star on the Dream Team.
The team that beat him was Arizona State's coach.
Bobby Hurley. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I want to see that video. Apparently it exists. But anyways, the Blazers didn't really fix anything that has troubled them except for playing a really, really, really bad team. And that's the moral of the story. Jake Layman had a great game. I'd like to see him get some more minutes, and the Blazers won without CJ McCollum. So
everything's all right with CJ. Just a little ankle sprain, huh? Little soreness.
I don't like it's a little ankle sprain, though. Isn't that a little bit alarming?
I haven't seen CJ sit out in quite some time. He didn't miss any time last year. I think he got rest time. This is the first time I've seen him sit behind the bench in some clothes going, all right.
If college football's taught us anything this year, if it's a high ankle sprain, you could have the Jalen Hurts, Tua, or Penei Sewell high ankle sprain surgery.
It does not appear it's over under
the two is playing, man. That guy's in a boot. Did you see him last night in a boot?
Well, he had surgery the other day.
No, I know that. I mean, that's... There's no such thing as 2 week. If he comes back, I want to know what they're doing, Dr. Andrews.
Well,
they better start sharing with everybody their secret surgery for high ankle sprains.
Well, Penei Sewell had it, so his was on the longer end of that. It's still four to six weeks.
Like I said, I had one, and I wasn't even close to right until 6 weeks.
His said 2 weeks, and he should be back to activities.
Okay, activities. Well, whatever that means.
But then that means he'll have another 2 weeks until you're looking at the whatever bowl it is.
Yeah.
What bowl are they? Peach? Is that which one is the semifinal? Whenever the hell they play Oklahoma, we'll be right at 4 weeks. So we'll see what two is looking like there. Anyways, we'll have a little bit of that coming up on today's show because Heisman is tomorrow. Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa. They will be squaring off. Joel Klatt, our Fox Sports college football analyst and insider, will be joining us at 7:30. As always, he can gloat about Mel Tucker heading to his alma mater, Colorado. We'll ask him all things college football, including, have you seen the realignment story?
I have.
This is interesting.
I have.
Not interesting. Want to ask him about that.
Really cool.
John Wilner stokes the flames of the Pac-12 with an article yesterday in the San Jose Mercury News. We'll talk to you about why Ed Ray, Oregon State's president, is in the crosshairs now. Great look for him. And then today is football Q&A.
Oh, yeah.
Our textual relations at 55305.
My favorite day. Favorite time. Get your questions stirred up and ready to go. We got P1 shirts to hand out today.
I'm a Dustin Camp P1 t-shirt on the Better You Today text line. Best football question. We'll get it. I'm a Dustin Camp P1 t-shirt. And also, our weekend would you rather at 8 o'clock. So locked and loaded show. But where we start, Derrick Henry runs wild. Can the Titans pull off a playoff appearance? 6:15 on the Fan.
The Oregon Ducks go bowling.
Well, Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans, they sure put it on the Jacksonville Jaguars last night. 30-9 on Thursday Night Football. And when I say Marcus Mariota and the Titans, it was Derrick Henry show, man.
Was it driving you crazy, too, that Troy Aikman kept saying Mariota?
Yes.
It was driving me insane. Joe Buck sitting right next to you saying Mariota, and you keep saying Mariota.
Everybody does that. And he's such a polite guy, he just will never correct
him. That drives me crazy.
So I've noticed, I don't think people hear the difference to themselves. Like, I remember Mario Manningham? There were a ton of people that called him Mario Manningham. That's not his name, it's Mario.
Huh. That drives me insane.
And I don't think people hear the difference to themselves between Mario and Mario. Is it Mario Cristobal? No.
What? Joe Buck's sitting right next to him.
Have you noticed, like, people, this always bothers me too, people that went to Syracuse, they will say, and Mike Lynch does this sometimes, but when I first heard it, it was another Syracuse guy who said it. It was Mike Tirico. They call the Syracuse Orangemen the Orangemen. Orangemen.
Yeah,
and I think that is the Mariota thing. Like, instead of...
Troy's from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I know.
He's not from the East Coast.
But it's one of those little weird quirks that people have where, like, old people, when all of a sudden they just throw an R into Washington.
Yeah, that's my father-in-law does that.
It's like you get to a certain age and you're like, screw it. I don't care.
I'm washing my clothes. I don't, that one's strange to me. That's very Missouri.
Yeah. But Aikman, you make a good point.
Air Force Ones. Yeah.
Because with Aikman, he's got a pronunciation guide right in front of him every game.
Hold on. Do I catch a little Nelly in there with the Air Force Ones?
Well, you remember, I was in St. Louis during the heyday.
Yeah, you and the St. Lunatics.
I was bowling right next with Nelly. Nelly, unbelievable bowler.
Nelly, unbelievable athlete. He was unbelievable drafted to play shortstop by the Braves, I think.
He's got two bowling lanes at his house. He won Marshall Faulk's bowling tournament fundraiser every year. We were there. He'd show up, he'd have his entourage, and it'd be a Rolex. He'd win like three Rolexes for the winter. And he'd bowl like a 275 and a 280.
Oh my God.
It was incredible.
What is Nelly sit around doing?
And he's got a bowling alley in his house. So he'd roll into the Air Force Ones.
Maybe he should.
He wouldn't give me a fist pump, though. Wouldn't.
Is he a short man?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't fist pump any of the white guys.
Any of the white. Well.
He wouldn't. We'd be like, Nelly, what's up? He'd be like, nope.
He'd be like, hi. Nope.
A nice cordial handshake.
Nope.
Yeah. Hello, sir.
Just didn't even acknowledge you. Just give me the bye-bye.
We'd try to do that. It was Grant Widstrom, myself. We'd all go by because the other guys go by. He'd be like, nope.
Weird. He didn't like you.
No,
he didn't like the cut of your jib.
He just had his routine.
I'm just going to go ahead and say he didn't like you. It's okay.
Have you ever watched Adam Silver in one of those ring ceremonies? People love to point that out on Twitter, that he's got like a really cool handshake with the black guys, but they just a very nice cordial one with the white guys.
That's one of my favorite ones is the Obama shakes. I love those. Those are great.
They really are. But Marcus Mariota, they won. 39, but Derrick Henry, how about Derrick Henry's 99-yard touchdown run where he just absolutely ragdolled every single Jaguars player?
I thought that was a great run, but I also thought it was an example of the Jacksonville Jaguars and how much they have quit. All of them have quit.
Every single one.
It was a run where you all looked at it and go, oh, that's kind of like the Beast Quake when Marshawn Lynch had that great run against the Saints. No, I saw about four or five guys from Jacksonville, literally quit. They just quit. Didn't even try. And it was a great stiff arm. And Derrick Henry's a big, big dude.
Well, and we have to remember what that came on the heels of, right? It came on the heels of your offense looking terrible. Mm-hmm. Your defense gets an interception for you.
Yeah.
Your offense has to punt the ball away, and you get bailed out by a muffed punt, right? That goes back in the end zone and the Titans end up taking a safety. The offense marches all the way down the field. They run seven plays inside the 5-yard line and cannot score a touchdown. Jacksonville did. And the defense comes out and they're throwing up their hands like, guys, what else do we need to do? We got you a pick. Mm-hmm. You guys couldn't do anything with it. They gave us 2 points and then let you march all the way down the field and you get to the 1-yard line and can't score off two plays.
Yeah.
On the 1-yard line, you guys can't score. And then what do you know? Change of possession. The defense is throwing up their hands. They go, whatever. One play, 99-yard touchdown.
Well, the will is gone in Jacksonville. And I've been on a team like that, a 3-13 team. And it was emotionally a wreck in the month of December. I mean, when you're a really good, every NFL team has great athletes. And you're motivated by the opportunity to make it to the playoffs, make more money, all those things, and winning and having a chance and knowing that if you get a turnover, your quarterback in the offense can go right back and score. Well, we do know that the offense last week won a game 6-0 because their defense shut down Indianapolis. This week, it was like, all right, we're done. Emotionally, it's done. The guys have quit. And that's quite obvious. Doug Marone's lost the locker room. Blake Bortles came out and said that I won't be returning to Jacksonville. They got a lot of problems.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, not having Leonard Fournette was a huge loss for them, and he's—I don't know if he's.
Well, he was there last night.
Oh, I know, but for the full season, a full complement season, even as a rookie, he missed some time. You know, I don't. I'm not going to call him a flop of sorts, but he's a big time help when they're there, when they're healthy. But their quarterback problems—it runs deep.
Well, and their offensive line is terrible too. Eric Flowers, who's one of the worst left tackles in the game, got cut by the Giants earlier this year. He's their starting left tackle. Yeah. Their offensive line—how many penalties did they have?
It was terrible. And that's the other thing is, as I was watching, Troy Aikman made the same point. He said, "I'm done with this." Even he was complaining about the excessive holding calls, where the officials came out and said, "We need more holding calls. What for?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What get out of your own way." I'm right with him in lockstep in that. It's like, what point do we need more holding calls? Again, you can call holding on every single play in the NFL.
Yeah.
One's more egregious than the next. At some point, you just got to be like, let these guys play football.
Well, and we're getting holding calls that don't affect plays.
Well, they get it on first down.
And it's like, okay, if it affects the outcome of the play, then let's maybe
on the
throw
backside.
The flag. Right.
I'm kind of mixed on
that's
that.
Ridiculous.
I agree. I hate it when it doesn't affect the play. But at the same time, I also like get mad at the player. Like, dude, you don't need to be doing that right now.
Oh,
like,
Buck, if it's you say that is so cavalier. Like, you don't need to be... You know,
you and I have seen it, though, where I'm talking about, like, when the play gets by you.
No,
like,
I know.
Like, on a return, for example. If it's 20 yards downfield, quit pushing the guy in the back.
Well, that's a different foul. That's a completely different foul when the play's behind you. If you're talking about a holding within the front when you're trying to block and a guy's on an edge, when that split second, I mean, the difference between a guy getting outside your framework in the NFL is probably about 6 to 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, and then when your hands move
here.
Outside and my hands go up, depending on where they're in the front part of the armpit or on the top of the pad, they can call that a foul. And there's no way you can control with that speed, that size, and the physicality in the front line and then be able to tell me, like, don't do that. And then when we would play too, sometimes if you take them to the ground, that's a pancake block. We celebrate mm-hmm. that. That's part of a good grade in the pro right. grading. But then other times, an official will go, "You took him to the ground. That's a foul." There's no consistency in it.
And I think just like with officiating, we also have the benefit of the slow-mo replay. So you see it
terrible.
Sometimes, and the guy crosses the line of scrimmage, and a dude's still holding on, trying to hold his block, and you're like, "Why couldn't he let go?" But at full speed, he doesn't notice the difference.
No, and that's one of the big problems that they have, too. Is also, in the NFL, you don't know when the play is past you. To kind of back up what Cam is saying, like, guys move so quickly, you don't know. Like, can be in an instant, the play's by you, and you don't even know. You're just trying to finish your block. The ones that I have a problem with is when, like, you know you're running, you know, power to the left, and there's a backside holding call that doesn't affect the play at all. And they call it. Like, that doesn't need to even be there, and it could be an iffy one. But the Jags suck. Tom Coughlin will probably be the coach by the end of the show. Just finish out the year.
But his boy is Doug Marrone. I mean, they're together.
I guess.
Lockstep.
And it's not just Doug Marrone, though. I mean, we mentioned it's the offensive line. It's quarterback. Bunch of issues.
I hate to be an I told you so, or anybody that nicknames himself Saxonville and then goes on and gives Blake Bortles a contract extension. What a joke. That's terrible. It's a terrible year. It's disappointing. And you're looking at a team that everybody's job's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, nobody's safe.
The good news is Bortles' contract it's easy to get rid of because he's not getting paid a lot. So we'll see what Jacksonville does. Marcus Mariota and the Titans, though, they could win out. You see their final stretch of games they have?
Mm-hmm.
They have the Giants.
I really like their uniforms.
Titans?
Yeah.
They look good.
Big improvement.
They were good uniforms last night, too. I like Jacksonville's white ones. Yeah. But they've got the Giants.
They have the Giants, the Redskins, and the Colts in their last three games.
Very winnable.
Colts at the very end, too. So
they should win their next two. And
they're not going to catch Houston, though, but they could
but
get in the wild
nine,
card for
they
sure.
They should be 9-6 going into their last week.
And 10-6 will get you.
It will. And 9-7. I think 9-7 probably won't.
I was going to say, it's really tough. The AFC is looking, I mean, it's going to come down to the last week.
Especially when you look at that 1 point loss to the Chargers where they went for the 2 points and the win.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had a 1 point loss and a field goal fest with Buffalo.
Yeah, ties.
Both of those could really hurt.
Ties are actually pretty good in the NFL when it comes to that.
You hush your mouth. You
well,
stop it.
Hey, the Vikings could benefit greatly from having a tie against Green Bay at the beginning.
Obviously,
of the year.
A tie, you know. A tie.
Football Q&A. You got football questions. We got football answers. The best football Q&A question will get an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. All you got to do is text in your football questions to the Better You Today text line 55305. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
The Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Football Q&A. Football Q&A. Best question in the 6 o'clock hour and best question in the 8 o'clock hour gets an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt.
You know what we didn't mention?
What?
Jalen Ramsey's flop. What the heck was that?
Let's see.
You should be fine for that. I'm not going with the comparison here. That's on video. Yeah. There should be a fine for that.
Absolutely.
Just an immediate fine.
The other thing that bothered me.
Can I see the video of it again?
Was Jalen Ramsey doing the flex when they were down 30-9. Like, yeah. I'm so tired of seeing guys celebrate stuff when they're down 3 scores.
Egregious than the flop, I think.
They're both really bad.
When you sit there and you go, you're getting pounded and you are just getting obliterated and you know your offense cannot come back and you start flexing on a team. What in the world are you thinking, Jalen Ramsey?
I don't know. That's bad. That was as bad as anything. That's one thing that I would hope that maybe the NFL would be super aggressive with is stop allowing that crap to happen.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway.
Okay, here we go. 55305, Better You Today, text line, football Q&A. Let's see here.
Can I start with one while you look dusty?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, as you're eating?
Mm-hmm. I'm not eating anymore.
Oh, you're swallowing and you're chewing.
Yeah, I'm done now.
Okay, go ahead.
Cam, what was the biggest individual game that you participated in for like a Derrick Henry type performance? What's the best individual performance you've been in a game that's you've participated in?
Wow, that's man.
I mean, any quarterback throwing, any crazy receiving stats, crazy running game?
No,
from
nothing
anybody?
That's. Gosh dang. I mean, that's really, that'd have to take me some time to think about because I've never been in one of those games where it's, you sit back and you watch, you see something amazing, like a Corey Dillon or when Corey rushed for like 299 Cincinnati.
Right, yeah.
And I think they had 4 guys that same weekend rush for 250 or more. It's some crazy stat of that time. No, there's been some good games of guys that had a lot of catches in a game, or I've always been asked what's the most catches you had in a game. I've been asked that question before. I don't know. That's a good one.
Well, think about it. Maybe by the 8 o'clock hour, something comes to mind. Yeah.
Okay, here is one on the Better You Today text line, 55305. Grade the coaches' seasons for the new coaches in the Pac-12 this year.
Okay.
They are Herm Edwards at Arizona State, Kevin Sumlin at Arizona, Mario Cristobal at Oregon, Charles Kelly at UCLA.
Grade.
Yeah.
Can we, instead of using A, B, C, and D, can we go good, go bad, good, great, elite?
No, just give them a letter grade.
I don't know, they're all B's in my mind. I would, yeah. B's?
Even okay. Sumlin?
Yeah. I mean, I think he took over something that was crazy. I mean, his quarterback wants to leave. It's a completely different system of players that he has no idea what he's dealing with. A whole new routine. All those things. I don't know if he's not a bad coach. He certainly has taken over something. It's not bad. I mean, he beat Oregon, and then Oregon goes 8. I mean, Coach Cristobal did a great job. 8 wins is big time in college football. Even though if you're Oregon, you're a big-time program. That's good. Chip Kelly got better at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, won games he wasn't supposed to win with guys. He had nobody. Injuries, freshmen. Herm Edwards might be the best of the group because the expectations were this guy's going to fail. It's going to be a dumpster fire. I would think I would give Herm Edwards a better grade than everybody. I mean, he gets a B+. Everyone's kind of B or B- in there.
I think if I'm going Herm gets a B minus because he went 7-5. You know what Todd Graham got fired for going?
Yeah.
7-5.
Yeah.
Like
there's more to that story, but yeah.
He did that and his record there was the same with the same talent. Right. I mean, next year is going to be the big test in my mind for Herm Edwards because no Manny Wilkins, no N'Keal Harry. You've got Eno Benjamin.
Sure.
You're going to be losing a lot
of
talent.
They'll be his guys.
A little bit more of his guys. And he didn't recruit very well last year. And they're not off to this rousing start recruiting this year.
Jonathan Smith.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Smith as well. Sumlin. I think that's a D. He had one of the most electric quarterbacks in the country last year with Rich Rod. Mm-hmm. And he disappeared. Now, that may be a little bit of Khalil Tate. A little bit of defense is catching on. But you had talent there. You were supposed to contend in the... in the South, Cristobal C plus. I mean, you won 8 games. They had a good year, but you had 3 layups at the beginning, and so you spotted 3, and you got 5 more. Chip Kelly, I'll give like that C plus B minus grade because of the injuries and what you're talking about. And then Jonathan Smith, I think you could just give him a B based on the fact that
you looked better.
You
wholeheartedly looked better.
2 games where you quit.
Yeah,
Civil War at the very end of the year, which was bad and ugly, and then the end of that Ohio State game. So you did okay with what you were given. So that's what I would go with there.
Okay.
It was tough. I mean, nobody got an A. Nobody flunked, I thought, which is, I mean, as long as nobody's falling flat on their face, that's good, right?
No, overall for the conference, I wasn't super excited for the whole South. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. And then here we go. I think this is a good one. What's the difference in the locker room when you're 3-13 but expected to be a contender versus 3-13 as the Bills or Cardinals? You know, like Jacksonville, where you have expectations and you're supposed to be there, and then Buffalo and Cardinals, you're like, meh.
Well, it's massively deflating, the difference between, because Jacksonville, when you built up your own expectations, your coach, you made it to the AFC Championship game. For gosh sakes, what were you, a field goal or a couple plays away from going to the Super Bowl?
Some nifty time management.
Yeah, some really good
time management. Stoppage of the clock.
So, yeah, that's a locker room failure, but it's a catastrophic feeling from those guys. The depression they're probably through. I mean, I remember watching Jalen Ramsey and listening to everybody and Blake Bortles, and that whole place just fall apart. 3-13 going from the Cardinals and starting over from scratch and gutting, your expectations are nothing. So what you're doing is you're trying to help out and trying to figure out who's going to be the guys you're going to move forward with. You're trying to make Larry Fitzgerald, maybe potentially make him feel good about his situation and finishing out his career. It's a big difference. Really, really big difference between the two.
Because there's an element of the known there. And then when you get slapped in the face because your schedule's harder, teams have started to catch on, and then your quarterback isn't playing out of his mind like Bortles did last year, that's a big gut punch. P1 Jordan, by the way, happy birthday yesterday. P1 Jordan had a birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Do you believe defensive holding in the secondary should be an automatic first down? There was a lot of those yesterday. Well, let's answer that question, plus more of your football Q&A questions next on The Fan. All right, football Q&A, 55305. Should defensive holding be an automatic first down on defensive backs in the NFL? I don't think so. I don't think it should be an automatic first down, because you're differentiating between defensive holding and pass interference, right?
Yeah, because defensive holding is happening before the ball is released.
Right, and...
no guarantee they're going to catch the football for a first down.
And I go, that's a big difference there. You should give them the 5 yards if it's defensive holding, but I don't like the first down aspect of it because that changes drives completely. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to, if it was just a 5 yard penalty, you're not going to be seeing guys like just hold, because then you could just throw PI once the ball is released and just call it PI instead.
Yeah,
and then
I don't mind it.
That should still be a first down.
I don't mind it. I think it's still, there's enough rules that benefit the offense where this one, just you look at it and you go, again, you could probably call this quite often, and defenders get cheated all the time, or they wrap or they hold and the ball is not released and the quarterback wants to throw the football and the guy gets tugged and you get a sack. Next thing you know, if it was a 5 yard penalty and the guy got sacked during that hold, well, you only just got back to your regular line of scrimmage. 6 yard loss. Now you're 2nd and 11, depending where you're at, or I'm sorry, you'd be 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5. It'd always be 2nd and 5, depending on where you're at.
Right.
So what they're trying to say is that it could be, in my mind, it's a 10-yard penalty. Because if you take a sack and you didn't make that call, now you're 2nd and 16, 2nd and 15. But if you do get a first down, and and you're there. It just, I think what they're trying to make it in the NFL is the equivalent to a first down is why.
Does well, they're make, giving it a first, they're no, 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 giving I know. You a first down.
Right. That's why, because they feel like if you did hold and the quarterback couldn't complete the throw that he was looking to or that throw, it's equivalent to a first down.
Yeah, and I don't agree with this text. It says if it wasn't, they would hold every play. No, because every other play, you'd be giving up a first down.
Yeah, you would go right down the field.
You know, like that would not happen. That's why I think you have PI, which is an automatic first down. Mm-hmm. Don't make it an automatic first. I don't like the automatic first down on a hold because a lot of times it's not, you don't give up a sack. A lot of times it's just an incomplete pass too. And they sure. say, hey, it was defensive holding before the play. If you give them either PI or a 5-yard penalty for holding, which isn't as egregious as the PI. All right, Ralph and Gresham, who's going to be the Jags quarterback next year? Eli Manning, Tyrod Taylor, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, or do they go through the draft?
This is a good question because it really depends on what the Jags' vision is. Do they want to start young and maybe move up the draft and sell off everybody and go after a big-name quarterback? Who would that big-name quarterback be? I don't know. Do they decide to just patch it in and get an older player? Which this is where Tom Coughlin, I think, he did get a younger Eli. So this is a tough one because Tom Coughlin wants to win now. He's old. I don't know if he wants to sit in for another 4 to 5 years and develop a guy. I would bet they go with a veteran. I mean, my gut would tell me they're going to go with a veteran.
Yeah, because you have a defense that's still cheap too.
Yeah, it's built to win right now.
You are cheap. I think they might go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Who says the Saints are going to be willing to just deal him and not really to sign him?
Because his deal's done after this year.
I understand that because Drew Brees is no lock to play for the next 5 years either.
Yeah. But, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater could get the chance to slip in and be a starter on a team sure. that next year's schedule will be easier yeah. again because Jacksonville's going to suck and they're not going to get those tough non-crossover matchups either. 55305 is the Better You Today text line football Q&A. All right, here's an interesting one. Yesterday, there was rumblings. A Big Ten blog has said that the Big Ten is targeting Oklahoma and Texas for potential realignment, mm-hmm. And that Fox Sports may be trying to help them out with that realignment and targeting those two schools. Along those lines, this text says, if the Pac-12 could add two more teams, who would they be and how would conference realignment work? Should they go an eight-game schedule? Should they go to an eight-game schedule as well?
Well, I think the Pac-12 should go to an eight-game schedule no matter what because that's what the SEC is doing.
And ACC. ACC has backtracked on moving to a nine-game schedule.
But if you wanted my other option, and I've said this before, is that I think you should go with your regular three game and then have one of those three, like a lot of teams, some teams are going to do it, Pac-12, have a Pac-12 game early and then have one of those regular threes that you do and schedule that late in the year
mm-hmm.
and still play your nine games, but at least have a better start to the year and stop playing the first 3 weeks as always. Not all teams do it, but majority of teams do have those first 3 weeks as your warm-up games.
You want to see who I would go with in realignment? I think they should expand by four, not two. Don't bring two in and make the Pac 14 because SEC has 16, ACC has 14, and
Big Ten has 16.
Big Ten has 16. Mm-hmm. Do they go to 16? Add two more. No, Big Ten has 14, and then they're going to add two to 16, aren't they? I think that's right.
I thought they had 16.
Could
be wrong. Like I said, I'm wrong a lot.
So
14.
If you go Oklahoma, Texas, I think you should add Oklahoma State and TCU as well.
Yeah.
I think that if you were to do that,
I'd bring in everybody left from Texas. I'd go Texas Tech. I'd bring everybody in.
It would be, I think if you add those four schools specifically, getting Oklahoma will be easier if you take Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Get Texas gets you most of Texas, but then you're also into Dallas-Fort Worth with TCU, which is important when you're talking television footprints.
Yeah,
those are the schools that I would go after, and I would go after them hard.
I know, but again, it makes the logistics of the pack side just huge again with the travel. And I mean, I know it's good for Texas, but yeah, I think like this texter says, Boise State, San Diego State, grabbing more on the West Coast. I just don't think they carry enough weight.
Mm-mm. You wouldn't become more relevant that way.
No. Texas, you would. You'd get some teams from Texas, which is all about football. We don't need to add more teams. This is just me being selfish. We need more teams from the heartbeat of our country that love football.
Yeah.
We don't need more Idaho teams. And this isn't one of those things that Boise State's a great program. It really is. But does it carry the weight of a TCU or a Texas Tech?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. And here's my thing as well is, like, people, all the travel, that's not really Pac-12. If Texas joined the Big Ten, they would be playing Rutgers in New Jersey. Like, you talk about travel there. Yeah.
No, it's not great either.
There's no difference.
Well, West Virginia's already in the Big 12, and they're traveling all over the place.
Yeah, and they're going to Texas. Yeah. That needs to be, like, get out of the conversation, because if there's one thing the Pac-12 already does, it's they travel more than any other conference.
Sure. Why not just add more?
And, yeah, what is the difference if you add those teams and you go that way? And as far as eight-game schedule, yes. And I think they should get rid of divisions. If you add a conference that big as well, you could do it where you don't even have divisions and you just,
I like
it's
that
not much. Around.
Yeah. I think a round robin should makes more sense. I think you get the two best teams in and we won't get to see the Northwestern versus Ohio State. Mm-mm. Where you get in because a technicality or there was a tie or something helping.
And that's what the Big 12 did this year. They just have the top two teams play,
which is so much better for
and
the conference.
And of course, defying all logic, the Big 12 now has 10 teams and the Big 10 has 14 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of course, what?
Yeah.
Because, of course, that's why. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. Keep sending your football Q&A. We'll announce the winner of hour number one next on The Fan.